And now, our story continues. Donna Cabot's chance meeting with Mavis Haggerty at the entrance to Miles Memorial Hospital had left the young girl completely bewildered. Mavis had spoken her mind, had bluntly asked Donna to leave her brother, Ricky Scanlon, alone. It was a shock to Donna, who a few moments before was eagerly anticipating a visit with Ricky. For several moments after Mavis left her, Donna stood outside on the hospital steps. Sudden doubts assailed her. She'd been so confident of her action, so secure in the feeling that her approach to the problem was right. Now she suddenly felt like a small child in need of advice. Instinctively, she thought of her brother, Dr. Cabot. Entering the hospital, she hurried down the first floor corridor just as Dr. Cabot came out of the patient's room.
Johnny.
Hello, Donna. I thought you were spending the day at Judy's. When'd you come in?
Oh, just now. Judy had to go shopping with her mother. Johnny, can I talk to you?
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, I mean, isn't there any place we could go?
Oh, I see. Let me have a look in here. Yeah, this will do. Good morning.
Thank you, Johnny.
Well, sir? What is it?
Johnny, I need your help.
I see. Still Ricky?
Yes, it's still Ricky.
I thought so.
You know how I feel about Ricky, and knowing your attitude makes it awfully hard for me to say.
Why don't you sit down, sir?
I love Ricky, Johnny. Now, I know you don't like to hear me say that because of the way you feel about him and because you think we're too young to talk about love, especially me. You think I'm too young to know my own mind. But I know. I've had crushes before, but this is so different. That's why I'm not ashamed to say it. Ricky and I weren't being silly about it, Johnny. I think that's why you were so afraid you thought we would be. You've got to understand how Ricky felt about it. We knew we'd have to wait. Ricky wanted it that way. He said that loving somebody is wanting to make them happy. Wanting to do things for them, not hurt them. And he wanted a chance to make something of himself first to prove to you that he is good enough. Well, don't you see, Johnny, we had no intention of letting it sweep us off our feet or doing anything that would hurt you or your mother and dad or anybody.
But you think you haven't hurt anyone, Donna? Good Lord, how do you suppose mother and dad would feel if they knew you were mixed up in this sordid bootlegging mess and with a boy like that?
Yes, Johnny. I suppose they wouldn't understand either.
Donna, this constant reference to understanding the situation. Don't you think you might try some of it yourself? If I objected to Ricky before, I doubly object now. So he wanted to make you happy. He wanted to do things for you. He wanted to prove to me he's good enough for you. And how did he go about it? By getting involved in an affair that contradicts everything you've said. Surely, Donna, this present predicament of Ricky's, doesn't it alter your plan somewhat?
Well, I don't know. That's what you've got to help me with, Johnny. Ricky will probably have to go to reform school. It's wrong because I should be punished instead of Ricky.
Oh, Donna.
No, please don't, Johnny. It doesn't change anything for me. I know I still feel the same. I'm sure of it. Because I know how decent Ricky is in spite of these things that make him look so bad. But I talked with Ricky's sister a while ago. She asked me to leave Ricky alone.
Mavis did?
Yes. She said I'd only hurt Ricky more by telling him I'd wait for him. She said the same as you, Johnny, that I'm too young to know, that I'm all mixed up. She said what I really feel for Ricky is remorse and pity, that I'm only trying to make up to him for what I've done. That There are too many differences between us, money and family and everything. It has me so confused, Johnny. I don't know what to think.
What do you want me to do, Donna?
Just help me, Johnny. I don't want to hurt Ricky anymore. Yet I want him to know how I feel. Tell me what I should do.
No, Donna. I'm afraid I can't. Davis and I seem to feel the same way about it, although for different reasons. I tried to do what I thought was right, not only for you, but for Ricky. And all I met with was opposition. No one seemed to understand my feelings, and I was accused from all sides of not understanding yours. So frankly, I don't know what's right or wrong about your problem. If you want help in understanding, why don't you go to Dr. Paul or Miss Martin?
You're being bitter, aren't you, Johnny?
No. I'm only admitting that I'm inadequate for the job of advisor.
And a short time after his young sister left, Dr. Cabot, feeling depressed and upset, crossed the street to Dean Mason's diner, took a small table in the corner, and ordered coffee. A few minutes later, Virginia Martin entered. Seeing Dr. Cabot, she walked to his table.
Hello, Johnny.
Oh. Hello, Virginia.
Do you mind if I join you?
Of course not. Sit down.
Thank you.
Dean's on one of his excursions to the rear. A vegetable truck or something. He'll probably have a long wait.
Oh, I don't mind. He'll give me an excuse to rest a minute.
You do look tired.
I am a little.
Have you seen Donna?
Donna? Why, no. Why?
She's looking for you.
Well, what about?
She has a problem. I told her to see you.
Oh. Why me, Johnny?
You've been rather helpful before, haven't you? You seem to understand the girl's problem better than I do.
Johnny, I've been wanting to talk to you. Your attitude the last few days has told me rather plainly how you feel. There's so little I can say, really, because I still sincerely feel I was right in asking you to let Donna stay. That it was the best thing for her. Or perhaps it was interference on my part. If you feel that it was, then that's the thing I regret most.
Virginia, I've been rather thoroughly convinced of how wrong I was. You, Donna, Dr. Paul. Between the three of you, I think I've been taken over the coast.
You feel so bitter about it.
Bitter? That's funny. Donna just accused me of the same thing.
What do you?
Isn't futile or inadequate a better word?
No, Johnny, because you haven't been either. What is it? Can't we talk about it? It's so uncomfortable, so unpleasant going along like this. And I'm afraid if we allow it too much longer, it might... Well,
how am I supposed to feel, Virginia? Donna tells me I'm insensitive, incapable of grasping an emotional problem, that I haven't a heart compatible with my confession. And if it's an opinion that seems to be endorsed by both you and Dr. Paul, you tell me my ideas, my methods of meeting with Donna's problem were all wrong. And it leaves me without a comeback because I've obviously failed with Donna, so I'm forced to concede that I'm wrong.
No, Johnny, no, not wrong. Perhaps at times you haven't been quite objective enough, been guided more by your emotions. But is that so terrible?
It could be, Virginia, because I'm completely unaware of it. I was convinced I was doing the right thing. Still convinced of it, for that matter. And if I've been so completely wrong without any consciousness of the right thing, well, it makes me lose confidence in my judgment, my ability to deal with people.
But, Johnny, you simply can't take that attitude. It's unfair to you and to us.
And I fail pretty miserably with you, too. I don't expect to be right all the time, but when the batting average is zero... maybe I should be psychoanalyzed.
Oh, Johnny, snap out of it.
Sorry, Virginia. That's the way I feel about it. Well, I've got to get back. You don't mind if I walk out on you?
No. No, if you must.
About Donna, I would appreciate it if you'd talk to her. He seems pretty upset. And as I said, I can't.
Dr. Cabot's abrupt departure was a sharp contrast to his previous attitude toward Virginia. And looking after him as he walked to the door, Virginia felt a mixture of self-reproach and disappointment. She wondered if the break between them was beyond repair.